Gene editing, so basically that's utilizing the technology referred to as CRISPR. It's very, very specific and very precise. So take, for example, in pigs, you want to develop that PRRS resistance pig, which Kansas State University and Missouri State University collaborated to help develop that. So they utilize CRISPR to identify that very, very specific sequence in the gene to make that pig resistant to that virus. It goes down the genome and it's very, very specific by utilizing that Cas9 protein. And after it identifies it, it encapsulates it and either alters it, deletes it, or changes it. It's doing things that can be performed in through natural breeding. But being able to utilize this CRISPR type of technology, you speed up that process where you can make that change almost immediate within that genome. Really focusing upon disease resistance and the challenges that we have there. I mean, nearly every farm is affected by PRRS in one way or another, whether you have it and you're trying to deal with it or you're trying to keep it out. You have to think at it from a holistic approach. I mean, because the implications it has for human health are just as great as what it has for animal agriculture or plants as well. Whenever you begin to think about specific diseases, I mean, sickle cell anemia, you begin to think about the HIV virus and things like that. If there is an opportunity that we didn't have to worry about those, I mean, I know that we're getting closer and closer to a cure for HIV all the time, but at the same time, if we could utilize through gene editing, that's really going to be the gateway into acceptance as well, because whenever we begin to think about some of the backlash that GMOs or genetically modified organisms experience, we've learned quite a bit from that experience. Now, with utilizing CRISPR and with the implications it has on the human health side, it's a little bit more, they have more of a relationship with it. As we can continue to develop hybrids or varieties that are more resistant to certain diseases or can help cure different things, I mean, it's a great opportunity. It's a very exciting time in science. I had the fortunate opportunity to attend CRISPRCon last year, which is a consortium of a number of different organizations that's put on by the Keystone Group out of Colorado. And I mean, discussing things about genetic editing and what CRISPR may imply and what it may mean, and from various different types of perspectives. That's really kind of what kicked off my enthusiasm around it, because you begin to look at some of the challenges that we have at home with the PRRS virus that it does cause on our farm, and we begin to think about, what if we didn't have to worry about that? Completely changes your mindset. And utilizing it for more personal gain versus trying to combat life-threatening diseases. I mean, I'm really focused upon, I mean, the implications that this has from fighting diseases and helping fight hunger. There's eventually going to be a licensing agreement to the schools that develop this technology between UC Berkeley or MIT. And there's going to be a fee that's going to have to be paid every time you probably want to utilize this technology and take it to market. And who's going to be able to afford it? And who's going to regulate this type of technology? If we get down to the slat level and we begin to think about farmers like myself using it, I mean, I certainly hope that I can be able to afford to use it. But it depends upon their level of acceptance to innovation and change. Whenever you really get an opportunity to go in and delve into the discussion and talk about how the technology and how it's used, and I mean, we're performing things that could legitimately happen through selective breeding. It's not like that we're inserting a gene from a different type of species into a pig. So, I mean, we're really focusing upon things that can happen in the natural setting, which would be very challenging. So when talking with consumers, it becomes an easier conversation. We don't want to open Pandora's box, for sure. As a pig farmer, I mean, we're always looking for ways to do our jobs better. And this is an opportunity, and I think it'd be bad for us to not continue to research this and gain a better understanding. It'd be irresponsible. If I had three key points whenever speaking with the consumer, I'd really focus upon the safety and well-being of the animal. And we're focusing upon combating specific diseases versus trying to make a corn plant grow taller or a pig grow faster or have more pigs or whatever it may be. I mean, we're focusing upon the disease side of the equation versus trying to make cosmetic type of changes to the animal. And I mean, also additionally talking about, I mean, how this can happen or occur through selective breeding as well in nature. I mean, so it's not something that we're completely editing the animal. So, I mean, we're confident in the work that's being done, and we're confident in the regulatory processes that we're producing a safe and wholesome product.